It is good to have you back with us again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And we're going to be looking at a Sunday school lesson that was written for the Sundays of December 16th, 1923 on worldwide missions. Really, this is how the New Testament church engaged in worldwide missions. And we're following Paul. We left him in our last class lesson as a prisoner in Rome. Now, he wasn't in a Roman prison. He was bound by a chain to a prison guard, but he was in his own hired house. And there people could come to him and he would teach them the gospel. We're going to be looking at that in just a moment in Acts chapter 28, 30 and 31. And then we're going to proceed to a letter that he had earlier written to the Romans about how that it had been his task to preach the gospel where it had not been preached. That will be Romans 15, 18 through 21. And so we'll be doing that here in just a moment. You'll want to get your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 28. And while you're doing so, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. You be watching for our meeting house when you're driving from McMinnville to Biola. You may want to go out there and get a pizza at the Biola Pizza Company or something like that. And on your way, be watching to your right, and you'll see our little brick building that is there. The saints have been meeting there to worship according to the New Testament pattern for over 100 years. And you need to see how we do this. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And these old Sunday school lessons that we're looking at were written by E.A. Elam. And they're bound in a little booklet I have called Elam's Notes. Now with that, let me read the text again, and we'll see what Elam has to say about this. We read in Acts chapter 28, verses 30 and 31, talking about Paul. He abode 2 whole years in his own hired dwelling, and received all that went in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness, none forbidding him. I really want to concentrate on those last words now. Teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He was teaching all that Jesus had done, the whole gospel, and its facts, commands, and promises and blessings, that Jesus is as the Christ of God. Faith in him and obedience in him are observance of all things whatsoever he had commanded. And that's what Jesus wanted his apostles to teach. We might remember from Acts chapter 28, 16 through 20, that passage that is often called the Great Commission. It says, when the 11 disciples went to Galilee into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them, and when he saw them, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. He would also be teaching that Christ will appear for a second time apart from sin, not then as a sacrifice for sin. He would appear to them that wait for salvation. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. It is remarkable that although a prisoner for Christ's sake, Paul preached and taught this with all boldness, Luke tells us in our text. Such boldness is needed today. We do not need a timid proclamation of the gospel or an apologetic kind as though we're sorry we have to say this. We need preachers that will stand in the pulpit and preach with clarity and boldness. That is courage with kindness, but also with boldness. Now with that, we're going to go to this letter that Paul wrote to Rome, Romans chapter 15, verses 18 through 21. And here's what Paul wrote. For I will not dare to speak of anything save those which Christ hath wrought through me, for the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Holy Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about even unto Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ, yea, making it my aim also to preach the gospel not where Christ was already named, that I might not build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written, they shall see to whom no tidings of him came, and they who have not heard shall understand. We read in these verses that Paul makes a most worthy, a most remarkable declaration concerning his own motive and work, namely, that he would not dare to speak of anything save those which Christ wrought through him, by word indeed. From Jerusalem and round about even into Illyricum, he had fully preached the gospel of Christ, and had made it his aim to preach the gospel where Christ had not been named, that he might not build upon another man's foundation. Paul did not build on another man's foundation, and would not claim and glory in another man's work. You might want to turn to your map at the back of your Bible and find Illyricum. It's just east of the Adriatic Sea. Paul had preached the gospel from Jerusalem to Illyricum in great fields where others had not gone. And now, having no more any place in these regions, he said, and having longed many years to go to Rome, he was ready to preach the gospel in that city, and thence to go on to Spain, we read in Romans 15, 22 through 25. He had written the Romans and said, wherefore also I was hindered these many times from coming to you, but now having no more place in these regions, and having these many years a longing to come unto you, whensoever I go into Spain, for I hope to see you in my journey, and be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first, in some measure, I shall have been satisfied with your company. But now, I say, I go to Jerusalem, ministering to the saints. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 through 17, Paul makes the same worthy and remarkable statement. Let me read that to you in the letter that he wrote to the church at Corinth. For we are not so bold to number or compare ourselves with certain of them that commend themselves, but they themselves, measuring themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves with themselves, are without understanding. But we will not glory beyond our measure, but according to the measure of the province which God portioned to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves over much, as though we reach not unto you. For we came even as far as unto you in the gospel of Christ, not going beyond our measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that, as your faith groweth, we shall be magnified in you according to our province, unto the furtherance abundance, so that, as to preach the gospel even unto the parts beyond you, and not to glory in another man's province in regard to things already to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Instead of saying that he did not intend to build on other man's foundations, here in Corinthians he declares he was not so foolish is to attempt to measure himself by others or compare himself with others who commended themselves or who measure himself by their work, and that he would not glory beyond his measure or in what he had done in his own province or field of work, which field of work did embrace Corinth. He was the first man to preach the gospel in Corinth. He remained there, too, at the first, for 18 months. Hence, he did not have to stretch himself over much or get out of his own field of work in order to embrace Corinth, for, as stated, he did the work there. He was not claiming another man's work when he spoke of the church in Corinth. Neither would he take charge, to use a modern expression, and as many say today they do, of work as things made ready to hand in another fielder's work. He opened up the way. He did the work. He built the churches, and thereby he gloried in the Lord. He says not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. No preacher or Paul-like preacher goes over the country hunting work or places made ready at hand by the toil and prayers and sacrifices of others. No man who is hunting a congregation, a large and flourishing one preferred, or a school made ready at hand, is worthy of the place and the confidence of the church. All congregations should beware of those who are simply place-seekers and time-servers. Paul attributes all he did by word or deed to Christ, which Christ wrought through me for obedience of the Gentiles, he said. Christ confirmed Paul's preaching as an inspired apostle to the Gentiles by the power of signs and wonders in the Holy Spirit. Paul was indeed an apostle to the Gentiles. And this is in fulfillment of the prophecy quoted in this verse from Isaiah 52 and verse 15. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they understand. While the churches as such must send out and support preachers as fully as the Word of God requires, the preachers must have the motive and purpose and spirit of true gospel preachers, and not place seekers. Now with that, we come to the conclusion of this lesson. And on the following page in my little old Sunday school book, I see there's a Sunday school lesson for the Sunday schools of December the 23rd, 1923. The title of the lesson is On the Reign of Christ. There's a beautiful passage we're going to be studying in this lesson from Isaiah chapter 11. I'll read it to you now, beginning in verse 1. It says, There shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots and shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of Jehovah shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Jehovah. And his delight shall be in the fear of Jehovah. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither decide after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. The righteous shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. And the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. Oh, there's been a lot of speculation about what Isaiah is speaking of here, and we're going to see in our next class that the New Testament identifies this.